Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, we had a very long weekend, so lots of assignments.
Unintentionally long.
Unintentionally long. All right, here were our assignments. So on Friday, there is always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment: what message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? Example: the underlying message in "Why are you so impatient?" is that just getting things done doesn't meet conditioning's performance standard. If I'm not also cheerful, gracious, and calm while I accomplish the impossible, it doesn't count. RL, what you see. Then on Saturday, the self-hating message is that as we are not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment: what does self-hate say you are missing? RL, what you see. Sunday, self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I'm told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be, to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. The whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turn to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment: make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation. And then yesterday, as you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example: in prioritizing getting things done, I choose efficiency over kindness, productivity over relationship, single-mindedness over expansiveness. Joy, laughter, and presence are sacrificed to pursue the hollow success of accomplishment. RL, what you see. All right. Yeah. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. This is Helga in Charleston.
Hello, Helga. What are you seeing?
Hi. So one thing that that came up for me in exploring this month's subject was that I got this message a long time ago: make yourself useful. You know, that was like a big thing in my family. And, you know, my mother was terribly overworked with five children. And so she couldn't stand seeing any of us just sitting around and doing nothing.
Right.
So we were
right.
always supposed to make ourselves useful. And then, you know, we would try to do that. And then that was never good enough. It was just never, it just never hit the mark. And so at some point, I just decided I was just going to be completely useless. I just wanted to be useless. I didn't want to do anything. I, you know, it's like so kind of like the reaction to that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, being useful is always doing. It's always connected to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Because as an adult, go ahead.
Yeah, so what I realized in that whole thing, one of the things that I realized is like to ego, meditation is the most useless thing you could possibly do, you know, to just be. And when I mm-hmm. love people, the more I love people, the more I don't, you know, what I associate with that is like I do things for them. You know, I don't tell
That's
them that
right.
I love you, but I do things for them. And then when they don't recognize what I'm doing for them, then I get all upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I just kind of retreat. So it's like this pattern, you know, between trying to be useful and doing things for people. and not realizing that maybe the most loving thing for anybody, including myself, is being present.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. we have to agree with that 100%. Right. Again, with practice, with bringing the kind of awareness to something that you're bringing to this, we get to realize so many things. Okay. So I think we don't have to be too much in fear of being far afield and saying your mother was just angry or upset or whatever was going on, right? Her life was overwhelming to her, we can project, with five children, right?
Yep.
And all she did was work. She worked until she fell into bed at night,
yep.
and she got up in the morning and she started knitting.
Yep.
So it didn't have anything to do with you being useful. But as a little kid, you didn't know that. You couldn't you couldn't say, well, Mom, actually, you know, you don't care what I'm doing. You're just upset. And seeing somebody else do something that you can't do, which is sit down, really is upsetting to you. Right? You know, as little kids, we assume adults are conscious and aware of what's going on with them. And, of course, as adults, we realize, oh, no, no, we're not. A lot of the time, no, we're not. And so you put that together in your little kid head, right? And then, as we do, we just then build on it. And we fit that into the framework as a truth. And then, you know, you get to the point, probably as a teenager, where you say, I'm not doing any of that, right? Because rebellion feels like being free or making our own choice or being our own person, right? And then then we can see how your whole life unfolds. And, you know, we have thousands of these, right? This is one.
Yep.
And your whole life unfolds in reaction to that original misconception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing is, you know, what is useful, you know, as ego has, like, these standards for me, what is useful, and depending on, you know, what I get compared with, it doesn't matter what I do, it's always useless.
Nope.
You know, it's like, I'll never be Martin Luther King or Gandhi. It's like, you know, it's like, so why bother?
That's right. And when you love people, you do it like your mother did.
Mm.
How did she love you, kids? Well, she did stuff for you. She cooked for you. She cleaned for you. She did your laundry. She got you to school. That's how she loved you. So what do you do when you love somebody? You start doing stuff for them. When they don't appreciate it, what do? React just like your mother did.
Yep.
You know, and then we get caught in this whole belief system that ego is behind, of course, that that there's some validity to any of that, rather than what we're doing right now, which is just laughing at it. You know, oh, my God, does this explain how people get so unhappy? Yeah, it really does. And are we all caught in it? Yeah, we really are. And what's the way out? Bringing conscious awareness to it. And what stops us from that? The ego that has its imaginary life blood in causing us to suffer over all of this made-up nonsense.
Yeah.
It's fun to see, isn't it?
It is. And today, you know, it's like the example today, you know, it's like what we sacrifice. I mean, I could just completely relate to all of it. You know, plus I'm German, and the Germans are so efficient. You know, it's like that's, it's like part of my
I know.
DNA or whatever.
Hell,
anyway,
I'm German,
so it's, you know,
too,
it's
remember?
Like a double, it's a double whammy.
Yeah, I know exactly what you... Yeah.
Well,
try to take it away from us, right? Complain as we might, try to take it away. All right. Thank you, Helga.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Helga. It doing is so pernicious, right, Cherry? Because we always it's the translation of how I am is not enough, which seems to be the signature to.
Oh.
What I do is what I am appreciated for, or That's how I gain approval. That's how, and so yeah. Everything is so related to doing, and it's so true. I mean, I'm not German, but I relate too, right? Efficiency, productivity, how much can I get done? And really, mm-hmm. that practical element of doing to be loved.
Yes, because that's the bottom line in all egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate messages. Yeah. As you are not okay. You are not enough. There is something wrong with you as you are. Now, get started on that self-improvement.
Precisely.
Become what you need to be, and that's going to involve a lot of doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan, Minnesota.
Hello there.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
Well, okay, one thing just dropped in that I have been watching my reaction to tasks when they're almost done.
What happens when they're almost done?
And they tend to be, I shouldn't say tasks, it's like projects. And what happens when they're almost done is getting it finished and kind of on the scoreboard and visible to people that, you know, I did this, it's done. Mm-hmm. is way more important than, you know, the learning or the process or kind of the journey of that thing mm-hmm. becomes irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's all about getting it done.
Done. Right.
Yeah.
It, that's a really important point, Dan. It's not actually doing. Doing is never the deal, right? It's
right.
actually done.
Right. It's getting the credit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I don't even know if I would completely agree with that.
Okay.
It's done. So, you know, throughout the day, a lot of people talk about realizing that whatever they're doing, the push is to get done. As if, with many of the things, there's no acknowledgement. It's not like anybody is going to say,
no
great job,
yeah.
including ourselves.
Right.
But it's just get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. And so a lot of, you know, wise people have noticed that what people are rushing headlong toward following that, in quotes, guidance, is death. Get life done.
Hmm.
So it might be interesting to see if that same push is on in other places, even places where nobody's gonna know
that
you did whatever that is.
Right. I wonder. So what? I will look there. I'm harping back to the previous conversation about how, you know, our life plays out the story that we tell ourselves to make sense of things when we're small. And I
mm-hmm.
think that there is a sense of even if it's a thing that nobody's ever gonna know that I did it. I wonder if there's having learned. That conditioning says, you know, this is good when you did it, you know, when people know you did it, when you completed the thing, when you got the pat on the back for the help or the good grade.
You brushed
or
your
the,
teeth. You did
yeah,
your
whatever.
Homework,
you know, you got the star on the
got
sticker
an
chart.
A.
Yeah, right. And so I'm wondering because I'm watching this both with myself and with my kid, and how I feel about my kid's progress through different things. And there's definitely, I'm trying to get out of the habit of saying conditioning wants, because I don't think conditioning wants anything other than tension, but conditioning says this would be so much better if it were done now.
Yes, exactly right. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're going to be watching for, right? All the places that it shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you for that. Yes. Conditioning doesn't want anything. Ego doesn't want anything except attention. And it'll say whatever it needs to say to make us believe that that's an important thing.
Yeah, it just says stuff. It just says
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Dan. You know, Sherry, what was dropping in around that conversation was one of the things that Dan said. It needs to be done now, right? That's the mm-hmm. that's the interesting message in all of it. It's not only that being is insufficient, but that the now is when we need to move away from. it's such a movement away from this now here, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Yeah. And of course, it very likely can't be done now,
right?
But the conversation, as you're saying, moves us away from being here.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
This is Ken from Morgan Hill. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I had to unmute my phone. I'm kind of out of sync here. Yeah, this is Ken from Morgan Hill.
Yes, hello. Huh. What are you seeing?
Oh, man, this is such a big ball of karma for me. It's just unbelievable. It's in fact, I had a picture, an image of Raiders of the Lost Ark when he's running out of the tomb, and that big boulder of twice his size is chasing him out of the tomb. And because my whole life has been about doing. And I grew up in, my father had his own business. We worked, had a family business. And I was just, as we were lining up for this today, I was thinking back, when did this happen? You know, and I know when I was little, there was a big piece of property and I was just allowed to roam and be free. But as soon as I could start performing tasks, then I started getting assignments. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was the amount of work to get done was unaccomplishable, you know. So, I mean, the totality of everything. So it would be like just pushing yourself, trying to be Superman all the time, trying to get more and more done. And, you know, I just see how that's led in my whole life. And trying to unravel this because, you know, I have the experience of being totally present with a project and how wonderful that is. But as soon as ego gets in there and as soon as conditioning, there's the future basedness of it trying to, I got to get this done so I can get to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I saw something in that this morning that I've seen a lot of things before, but it's, you know, how bringing attention to things gives you clarity or gives you insight in a depth that just doesn't exist if you're not present. And I saw that this future baseness actually gets me to not accomplish a lot of things sometimes. So it gets me to go to the next thing before I finished something.
Oh, yes. Which is a combination, right? I mean, what you're bringing up is a combination of the two previous calls, right? So, first of all, you become your father.
Okay.
Right? And part of you becoming your father is, it's the amount of work is insurmountable. So, there is that piece of it. Now, when you're really there with what you're doing, of course, you're enjoying life. You're not acting out karma. You're just there, present, and enjoying what you're doing. But the whole structure, the whole ego structure would collapse, of course, if you just stayed there. So it has to be always seen as insurmountable, overwhelming. So there's always you've got to, as we were just talking about, Dan, you've got to get this done. Check that off of your list so that you can move on to the next thing, right? But if we realize that what's really happening to us is ego keeping the identity in place, then we realize we can never actually be allowed to be present for any length of time because that whole ego story will collapse. So, the way to screw you up, just one last point. The way to screw up is to get you to leave what you're doing and get caught up in a conversation about everything that needs to get done so that you're not present to do what it is that you're doing. And in that way, you can stay in the story of it's all overwhelming.
Yeah, I really saw a lot in that whole thing, future-based, you know, how this gets me back to getting it done and ego, and I can't be future-based and be in the moment. So that's the thing. It's got so many different ways it does it to me. It's just so that's what I'm trying to, you know, be very close attention to, and that's where I got with the Raiders of the Last Ark with that ball chasing me, because it feels so hard for me sometimes to stay present when I feel like there's so much to get done, and it just, you know, I feel like I'm being chased.
Yes, well,
and pushed, like actually literally pushed.
Yes, Ken, and that's the point. That ball is ego.
Yeah, I know that.
There isn't actually so much to get done. And when you're present, you realize that. Now, you're not alone in this, okay? We're saying you, but you are describing the human condition, right?
Yes.
And so to realize that when we're here, that story falls apart, and we realize it's not true. But then we hear the sound of the ball coming behind us. We identify with ego. We panic, and it's got us, and we're in the realm of suffering. So, yes, absolutely. That is what we're attempting to do, which is, you know, just with your image of it, okay, when you hear that ball, instead of starting to run, which is how ego controls us, you stop and turn around and say, that's not true. I am going to focus on what I'm doing. That's the way out.
Thank you.
Will it pick up speed again? And will you fall for it again? Absolutely. But in that moment, you will.
Well, it's been doing it to me for a very long time. You know me. You know, I've been around for a while. So it's been doing that to me for a long time.
Of course. It does it to all of us. But the point of it is, once you realize that you can stop it by turning around and looking squarely at it, now you know the way out. That's what you'll be practicing.
I really see freedom in this.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Mm-hmm. All
Thank
right.
You.
Well, go happy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Now, Sherry, while I was looking at my own process around it, how much, I mean, the word karma, which is doing, has a root in do, is actually thought. It's also a word for thought. And what we were describing as pressure is how much energy there is in the momentum of thinking about something. So if I keep thinking there's too much to do, there's pressure that's building up from just thinking about the doing of it, right? Yeah. I mean, my experience of that is when I sat in meditation early on in my practice, when the thought would arise, is it time to get up? Is it when's the bell going to ring? And that constant thinking would actually propel the motion to look at the clock.
Right?
And then it'll be, whenever, I mean, I've had this experience over and over again, when I pick it up and look at it, it's 1 minute, 1 second before the time is over. And then there's that feeling of such disappointment that I didn't outweigh the pressure of the thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the redirect of attention you're talking about, that the pressure is in the thinking, which causes us to do.
Yes, and because of the way we're constructed, we actually can't tell the difference between thinking and reality.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
So when we're doing that thinking, which is a doing, as you just pointed out, when we're doing that, our experience, what we believe is that's real. Mm-hmm. And the experience we have when we drop that and come back to presence is, no, it's not. It's not real at all. But as soon as we start thinking it,
Yeah, absolutely. And it becomes real in behavior.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we get miserable. Not because of life. We don't get miserable because of life. we get miserable because of what's going on in our head.
Mm. Yeah. All right. I think we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jacqueline from the Central Coast of California.
Well, hello.
Hello.
What are you seeing, Jacqueline?
Well, this has been a really fun thing to look at because a few years ago, I could probably draw a straight line as to why I'm here. I had decided I couldn't figure out why it was in my work that most of the time I could just be happy and everything was easy and it didn't matter how big or small the job was. I was having a good time. And then every once in a while, I would have these issues where the smallest thing, I felt like I had to beat myself to get myself to do it. Mm-hmm. And certainly there were many other things that brought me here too, but that always stuck in my head because I had really stopped and said, I wonder why that is. And suddenly I am seeing all the roads are always leading actually back to the same thing, which is just amazing to me, is that the only difference in how I was doing each of these things was what you were just saying. It's what I was thinking. I was trying to control a feeling inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other issues, it looked like it was all happening on the outside, and I figure I don't have control. It's a little dance. We'll see what I can do. But if it's something that's inside of me, I actually was believing that I needed to do something with it, that it wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm. And the ego's, what ego offers us to do about it is get miserable. Right? get miserable, get paralyzed, and then allow yourself to be beaten by voices in your head that tell you there's something wrong with you.
Well, yeah, that's part of the story, right? The only way you're going to get it done is if you beat yourself.
That's right. Yeah, and until practice, we believe that we're doing all of that, right? Until we bring awareness to this whole thing. We believe, yeah, I'm doing that. Yeah, this is me. Yeah, I'm doing all that stuff that's easy. Yeah, that's me. Now I'm stuck here. I'm paralyzed in this whatever. Well, that's my fault. I need to fix that. Okay, well, then I need to beat my... And when we start practicing awareness, we start parsing it and realizing, whoa, wait a minute. Sometimes I am actually not doing any of that. I'm just watching it. I'm listening to it. I'm the observer here.
It was a funny, just sudden image this morning that came to me when I was thinking about this and looking at the next day's assignment. I just had the picture in my head of being a small child trying to help, and the adults are doing something, and I am holding the end of the rope, like you often might do with a small child to allow them to participate when they actually really can't participate. And I am holding on for dear life. And it just occurred to me, well, I'm not doing this. I can just let go and go play. Mm-hmm. It will all get done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I can just let go and enjoy life. It's all unfolding. It's going as it's going. Mm-hmm. I can just enjoy it all. I can just be aware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Don't you just love it that there are things that drive us to awareness? Isn't
that pretty fun? It's super fun.
It's super fun because now that you have the clarity that you have about all of this, if somebody said, well, but you know, you were mostly happy. I mean, why didn't you just stay with mostly happy and just, you know, forget about those times when you weren't and the beatings and all that. I mean, it's just such a small part of, why? When we can be happy all the time.
Oh, I completely
When happiness
agree.
Is our authentic nature, why would we spend any time feeding ego?
Yeah, I've had those thoughts start coming up as I start seeing stuff and feeling a little bit better mm-hmm. about things. And I think, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm not falling for that one. Now I'm not worried about actually being happy. Now I just want to see everything.
That's right. Because that's where the real happiness is, isn't it? It's being here in clarity. Yeah, because that's what we are. That's what awareness is, and that's what we are. Is here, clear. All right. Well, have fun.
Thank you. You too.
All right. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jacqueline. Here, clear. Good call.
Here,
call,
clear.
Good signing off. A good call sign, Sherry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we can say clear here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That too. All right, that brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. We're conditioned to be a human sacrifice or sacrifice to maintain ego. Assignment, what of you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? What are you not allowed to see, to feel, to have, to be? RL, what you see.
Very nice. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Mañana.